1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to read the first 11 verses, but I'm going to read it out of the Amplified this morning. You follow me along in the King James, and that's the version we use. But this morning I wanted to read this one out of the Amplified. It just makes it easier to grasp what Paul's saying. It says, "Now as to the matters of which you wrote me, it is well, and by that I mean advantageous, expedient, profitable, and wholesome, for a man not to touch a woman, to cohabitate with her, but to remain unmarried. But because of the temptation to impurity and to avoid immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, goodwill, kindness, and what is due her as his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have exclusive authority and control over her own body, but the husband has his rights. Likewise, also the husband does not have exclusive authority and control over his body, but the wife has her rights. Do not refuse and deprive and defraud each other of your due marital rights, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, that you may devote yourselves unhindered to prayer, but afterwards resume marital relations, lest Satan tempt you to sin through your lack of restraint of sexual desire. But I am saying this more as a matter of permission and concession, not as a command or regulation. I wish that all men were like I myself am in this matter of self-control. But each has his own special gift from God, one of this kind and one of another. But to the unmarried people and to the widows, I declare that it is well, good, advantageous, expedient, and wholesome for them to remain single, even as I do. But if they have not self-control, restraint of their passions, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to be aflame with passion and tortured continually with ungratified desire. But to the married people I give charge, not I, but the Lord, that the wife is not to separate from her husband. But if she does separate from and divorce him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to her husband. And I charge the husband also that he should not put away or divorce his wife." And what he's saying is the same goes for him as for his wife. Now, the lesson this morning, I titled it, Paul Teaches About Marriage. He teaches us about marriage. The best place we can learn these things is out of the Scriptures. And let me say this. Let me say this, because I said last week, I said the best sex education we can get is from the Word of God. But we have to understand this. The Word of God is written to the church. It's written to us. You can take this Word, and you can take it to the secular education, and you can teach them these things that we've been looking at here, just here last week and this week, on marriage and fornication and these things, and they can exercise self-control according to the Word of God. If they just say, "Well, the Bible says don't do this, so I'm not going to do it." Here's my point. If you believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still going to perish. There are virgins in hell as well as harlots. If you believe not on Christ, you're going to perish. It's not, and you know this, it is not what we do and what we don't do. It's what our Lord did for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He rose for us. He intercedes for us. But after saying that, what Paul is saying here, what he's writing about, and the ones he's writing to are believers. So these are instructions for believers that we have here this morning. So we say here, now concerning the things whereof you wrote me. Evidently, they wrote to Paul about this matter. This matter of marriage and this matter of some of the other things that Paul has dealt with. They wrote to him about this. And so Paul addresses this letter that they had written to him. And he's saying here in verse 1, what he's saying is this. It is not unlawful to marry. He said there's nothing wrong with being married. There's no sin in lying with a woman, being with a woman in wedlock, in marriage. And he's saying there's nothing wrong with being single. And there's nothing wrong with being married either way. He's saying this, that if a person has the gift of self-restraint, if God has given a person self-restraint, and I want you to know that most of what I'm using here this morning, I'm using from Henry's commentary. You know, Henry told us in the Bible preacher school years ago, he said, use good men, but put what God has given to you with it. But don't be afraid to use good men. So I read several commentaries this week on this, and I read Henry's, and I thought, why try and reinvent the wheel? I said, just use this outline. It gets no better than the outline I've got in front of me here that I took from him. So I want you to know up front that I'm using basically his outline this morning on this. So now to get back to this verse 1. Paul is saying that if a person has the gift of self-restraint and that person does not need sexual expression, he's better off or she's better off unmarried. And I think also he's referring to that particular period of time because of the persecution they were having to deal with. Remember, he says many of them lived in caves and dens. I mean, they were persecuted hard. So without a doubt, he has also in mind that particular time. But he says here, that person, if he has self-control or she has self-control, they're better off to remain unmarried. Now, I have to say that a good marriage produces happiness. There's a certain fulfillment that you get in a good marriage. But in any marriage, there's heavy, heavy, heavy responsibility. Taking care of one another, giving up yourself, you forget about yourself. You know, I get tired of hearing this, me time. I need some me time. Well, stay single. Two things, stay single and don't have kids if you need me time. Serious, I'm serious. If that is your personality, that you got to have me time all the time, then you need to stay single and you need not have any children. Because both of them require you to be fully invested, completely, 100% invested. There's also personal sacrifices and there's troubles. You know, Paul said in verse 28, look in verse 28. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, you've not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. He says, let me warn you. Let me warn you, you're going to have trouble. That is, this life's full of trouble. You know, you have financial troubles. And then you have this part where you have to, of a time of melting together. When you were single, you were your own person. Well, now you're not. Now you're not. Now you're one. You're one person. And then he says in verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid sexual immorality and unlawful relationships, let every man have a wife to love. You know, that's what we say in the marriage vows, to love and cherish. To love and to cherish and enjoy. And every woman is to have her husband to do the same thing. To meet the same needs. You know, we both have the same needs. So he says here, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own, her own, listen, own husband, yes. Vicky owns me. That's right. She owns me, I own her. That's my wife and nobody else's. And I'm her husband and nobody else's, period. So we do in a sense, when we say I do, we own each other. Paul said, let her and him have their own husband and her own wife. Then he says here in verse 3, now, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Let the husband render the office of love to his wife. He's to love her. He's to be tender to her. He's to be kind to her. He's to make provisions for her. He's to provide for her. Now, I agree with the scriptures. I am to provide for her. She's not to provide for me. Now, that's just the way I believe that's what the Word of God teaches. She is not, it is not her responsibility to take care of me. I mean financially, go out and into the workplace and take and come home and take care of all the obligations of the marriage. That's my responsibility. I'm to take care of her. I'm to provide for her. Now she has her responsibilities in the marriage, but I have mine also. And mine, first and foremost, is to love her, to be kind to her, to provide for her, to protect her, and to respect, to show respect. But the chief reference here, Henry said, is to the marriage bed and her sexual needs. Likewise, the wife is to be aware of the needs of her husband. They are to take care of each other's needs. Look after. That's part of looking after one another. That's part of taking care of one another. The old writers, the ancient writers, they said that and this includes a husband also, but a husband or a wife who did not willingly take care of each other were rebellious. They were called a rebellious wife or rebellious husband if they wouldn't take care of each other. And that's in all areas. That's in all areas. Henry writes here, according to the Song of Solomon, this relationship, when properly understood, when it's free, now listen, when it's free from traditional guilt, oftentimes we bring a lot of baggage into the marriage, don't we? We do. We bring a lot. Depending on how you're raised, how you're brought up, we can bring a lot of baggage that's not even scriptural into a marriage. We can bring into the marriage false piety, self-righteousness. And knowing it is ordained of God, he says here, with a blessing. So according to the Song of Solomon, this relationship, when properly understood, ceases to be a duty. It's not a duty. I tell you what, submission to someone you love is not a duty. It's not a problem. It's a problem when you have to submit to somebody you don't love, you don't respect, and you don't have any desire for. Now that person is hard to submit to. But is it hard to submit to Christ? I'm going to tell you something. If it's not hard for me to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not hard for me to submit to you. Because my submission back in the marriage, my submission to my wife or in her needs, her submission to me is nothing more than submission to Jesus Christ. According to his word, according as he instructs us, it's submission to him is what it is. Now, he says here in verse 4, And I know that verse 4 just slaps in the face of today's, what we believe today in this country. The wife has no power over her body, and the husband has no power over his body. And that's what he's saying here. A wife does not have exclusive authority over, listen, an ownership of her body, to refrain the use of it from her husband, to give it to someone else. She don't have that right to give it to someone else. Like I said, Vicki's my wife. She's not anybody else's. I'm her husband. Neither one of us have the right to give ourselves to anyone else whatsoever. She doesn't have, and I don't have, the right to even abuse my body. Alcohol, you name it, I don't have the right to abuse this body. The husband has power over and right to her body, and the exact same thing is true of her toward me. What is said of her is said of me. That's what Paul says. He says she doesn't have exclusive rights over her body, and the husband does not have exclusive rights over his body. They both have needs, and they're both to be met. Henry says here, happy are the wife and husband who find delight in pleasing each other with an attractive, clean, and loving person and personality. Isn't that right? That's right. He says it's better to recognize this as a joy, taking care of each other's needs. It's better to recognize this as a joy rather than a duty or an unpleasant task. But I have to say, if you love someone, it's pleasant. It's a pleasure to be with them. It's a joy to be with them. It's a joy to take care of each other's needs. It's a joy. In fact, here Paul says this in verse five, that if you do this, you're actually defrauding one. You're a fraud. He says you're a fraud. Defraud is a strong word here, but to refuse love and affection where it's needed, and to deprive each other of that which is in our power to give, is selfish, and he said it's evil. It's flat evil. No matter what else you may do that you think is good, if you mess up here, it's just flat evil. A lazy husband who will not work and support his family fails as a husband. And likewise, a wife who fails in her marriage responsibility to her husband is a fraud. That's what he's saying, is a fraud. But Paul says here, he said, you may interrupt this marital relationship in time of special need or spiritual burdens, what he's talking about here. Special spiritual burdens, trials and fasting. You know, something happens that it breaks your heart's broken, and you seek the Lord, and there's a heavy trial going on, and you separate for a little while, that you give yourself to prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord over whatever the matter may be, whatever the trial may be. He said, but don't stay that way. Only do it, first of all, with mutual consent. Only do it briefly, lest one of you be tempted and you find satisfaction someplace else. That's pretty plain, isn't it? That's why I wanted to use his lesson. That's as plain as it gets. No, you don't ever think that you can resist anything. You know, you and I can resist anything but temptation. Don't ever think you're at the place that you've got this. I've got this. Yeah, right. This will get you if you're not careful, if the Lord allows it. He says here, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. He said, what I'm saying here about parting for a little while and giving yourself to prayer and coming back together, he said, that's by permission. And Paul was given, he's writing on this under the influence of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So what he's given here by permission is very wise. It's very wise to pay attention to what he's saying here. God's using this apostle to write Scripture. So if he's giving it by permission, I'm still going to give a lot of attention to it. And then he says, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man has his proper gift of God. Not every man has this, not every man, not every woman has this self-control. You know, we were made, we were created with biological needs. And not everyone has this self-control. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. And he's speaking here, as I said, of self-control and abstinence, which he covets for all believers, that we might not be in danger of temptation, and that our minds and thoughts might be on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on this flesh. God gave Paul a special gift. He gave Paul the gift of self-control. Paul didn't have a home. I mean, he was homeless. He was not married. He did not have children. He didn't need any of that. God gave him a special gift of self-control. But that's not given to every man and every woman. I know it'd be a real blessing to be rid of all fleshly thoughts and desires, wouldn't it? That'd be a blessing. But if you don't have it, you don't have it. Then he says in verse 8, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I am. Here's what he's saying. If a man or a woman is unmarried and chooses to remain that way, he says that's not sinful. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with remaining single the rest of your life. He says, Paul says here, it'd be better for them because they would be free from the cares of this life, the cares of taking care of someone, the heartaches that go with marriage and that go with having children. There are certain heartaches that you have with children that those who don't have children never know. I mean, there's a world of difference. But he's saying it here, he's speaking here to the believer, and he's saying it for this reason also, that you would be free from a lot of these troubles that come with marriage and children, that you'd be more free to serve Christ. That you're more free to serve Him if you stayed single. But, he says here in verse 9, if don't have that kind of self-control, if they cannot contain, let them marry. It's better to marry than to burn. If a person does not have this self-control in this area he's talking about, then he should seek a wife, and a man should seek a wife, and a wife should seek a husband. Because he says here, it's better that they marry than to be aflame with passion and tortured with this desire. And then he says here in verse 10, And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. He says here, as he had stated before, some of the above things that he had spoken was just by permission. He said, I speak by permission. But here it changes. Here it changes. He said, I speak this by a commandment. This is a commandment of God. It's not my advice. It's not good advice. It's a commandment. What he's about to say, we are under obligation to observe, because this is the law of God. He said a wife is not to leave her husband. Marriage vows are not to be taken lightly. Neither husband nor wife are at liberty to separate from each other because of disagreement, disease, or even differences in matters of faith. But let me say this. Paul also says later on, he said, if the unbelieving depart, if they divorce, the believer is not under bondage. That believer is not under bondage. God is not going to allow an unbeliever to hold any of his children under bondage. They are free. They are free. But he's speaking here of differences, like if someone gets sick. And I've seen this over the years. I've not seen this in the church, but I've seen it over the years. I've seen someone get sick, and I've seen one of the mates leave for somebody else. But they're not to separate. It don't matter if they have disagreements or sickness, or as he says, there are even matters of faith. In verse 11, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. If a person cannot be prevailed upon to remain with his or her partner, but leaves for some reason, that person is to remain unmarried. His departure does not make the marriage void. He says here he's to remain unmarried or be reconciled. She's to remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, or her husband to remain unmarried and be reconciled to his wife. He's talking here to believers, those who claim to believe God. That's a good lesson. That's a good lesson on marriage that Paul gives here. That's one of the reasons it's so important that we go verse by verse and we don't skip over these things. These things are not easy to deal with. They're not easy to deal with. And you know, in our day and time, it's not easy to deal with. But it's so. The Word of God is what it is. And we follow God's Word. All right.